Well, let's take a few moments and pick at the word. I'm going to give you part two of Sunday evening message, how to avoid evangelism. I first heard this line of thinking that was actually just an amateur attempt at reverse psychology when it was given by a trusted old friend, Dr. Ernest Pickering. When he pointed out, again, reviewing a bit from Sunday night in Matthew 21, verses 28 to 30, there is a story there, a parable, in which two boys are instructed to go work in the vineyard. Specifically, the instructions were given to go work today. And initially, one of the boys refused, later repented. The other one said yes and changed his mind and didn't. The point we take away from that is one way you can avoid evangelism, if you have no heart at all, no compassion, no interest in doing the will of God, is just stay home. Park yourself comfortably at home. Stay home instead of going out to work. And we drew in some passages with regard to the sluggard in the book of Proverbs and so on and so forth. And then we, again, drawing from that, we can take from that little story that there are, I think, probably too many of God's people who are simply unwilling to go to work in the vineyard. Just unwilling. And that's in spite of the Father's requirement to go. We also looked in Luke chapter 10, verses 29 to 31. There we find that is the account of the Good Samaritan. And the second point to be made is, if you wish to just avoid evangelism, steer clear of any providential appointment. And by that I mean that God, when He sends us out into each day's activities, does not simply permit our lives to operate happenstance. When we meet people on every given day, depending on where and whatever circumstances, are all ordered by the Lord. And theoretically and potentially, they do and can provide an opportunity to insert the seed of the gospel news into their lives. And of course, the priest and the Levite in that story in Luke's gospel was that they came and they saw this man in distress and they steered clear. The second man came in, even stopped to look at him to check him out a little closer, but then he passed by. And so, again, demonstrating in both of those cases that they were uninterested, even when the circumstances and surrounding that person in need were very dire, just uninterested. If the lostness of people does not move us to go into the vineyard to work, then we have some answering to do. There's also this to be said. In the book of Acts, if you would come there with me tonight, sort of a part or a section B here on that steering clear. In the book of Acts, there is the man by the name of John Mark. Acts 13 and verse 5. We see here in this place, they were on a ministry trip. When they were at Salamis, verse 5, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. He was there to serve. He was a partner in this ministry. When we think about this, again, looking further, if we back up a chapter, I think in verse 25, there's a mention of him again. It says, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So here you have this man mentioned. When you come over to chapter 13 and verse 13, we find something else. When Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. John departed. Now, we are left to be amazed at exactly why he did that, why he demonstrated in this particular case some unreliability. Here's a man who was yoked up in partnership, in service, in the preaching of the Word of God, and all of a sudden he departs, he leaves. And it is, there's a commentary on that in the 15th chapter of Acts, verse 36. Acts 15:36 says, some days after Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, see how they do. Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But please notice the observation in verse 38 of the other man. Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So I take it from that, that there is some apparent hostility here that was provoked by John Mark's departure in the midst of a missions trip. And so in this particular instance, when the suggestion is that he resume, Paul drags his feet on that to the point where verse 39 says that the contention was so sharp between them, they departed asunder one from the other. And Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And so here we have, again, in the case of John Mark, some apparent manifestation of unreliability. So in the case of the first parable in Matthew 21, there is demonstrated unwillingness to go to the vineyard. Then the second place, there is uninteresting. There's a state of mind that just people are not interested no matter how dire the circumstance presents. And in the face of all that, you have this instance where this man, whether this was a singular event in his life or whether this was a pattern of life, no one knows for sure, but in this case, he demonstrated unreliability. When they needed him initially, he departed. And when he appears again, Paul, for some reason, did not sign on for that. And so, and was so dug in on it that his essential ministry partner and he parted company. So I do not know what happened there. We come also to a third item for consideration, which is this: stop all involvement. If you want to avoid evangelism, just stop all involvement in the primary use or the primary utilization of the local church. Now, the local church in this age is God's primary instrument for evangelism. The local church is the people of every local church. I want you to see something in Psalm 78, verse 9. Psalm 78, and I have you at verse 9. In the general context, of course, it has nothing to do with the church. It just points out to you something here that is typical of people of every generation, whether Jew or Gentile. In Psalm 78, verse 9, it says, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They stopped involvement. They stopped their involvement. It is manifestly demonstrated here a degree of unfaithfulness that whenever their contribution was needed most, they turned back. And it wasn't that they were ill-equipped. They had everything they needed to go to battle. But for some reason, they turned back. Some people can be intimidated with the thought of broaching the gospel message with even their closest family members for fear of alienating them. Some people are even more intimidated by talking to a total stranger if God providentially brings that stranger into before your face, not knowing, maybe reluctant to say anything for fear of being asked a question that you can't answer and be made to look like a fool. So you don't say anything. Just stop all involvement. When we come over here to Proverbs chapter 25, Proverbs 25, the 19th verse, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble, the Ephraimites, is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Unfaithful. If we're going to stick to the tooth motif, then we understand that whenever we stick something in our mouth, it requires a little bit of chewing. Well, you want to have confidence that when we put it in there, we're not going to break the tooth off further and cause increased grief or pain. Same thing is true with human involvement. When people are armed and carrying bows and they're fully equipped to go into the battle, and for some unexplainable reason they turn back and do not engage, unfaithfulness. It is like the story that we find in Luke chapter 14 where it talks about an individual in that Luke chapter 14 chapter who began to build something. Luke 14 and verse number 27. Luke 14:27. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first, counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Not able to finish. And so, again, it pulls the point out again where a person may think themselves to step into a position where they come up short and be made a laughingstock simply because they are not able to answer all of the questions that might be asked. But keep in mind, there's only one thing you have to give answer for. The Bible tells us to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks a reason for one thing. Just one thing, for the hope that lieth within you. You don't need to be able to give a grand theological definition of anything in Scripture. You don't have to be able to reason through all the pros and cons of this doctrine or that doctrine or parse the nuances of things that scholars have been writing about and debating for centuries. All you have to do is one thing. Give a reason for the hope that lies within you. Why do you hope on Jesus? That is sufficient. And again, laced with the gospel message, the word of God itself in that response is most appropriate and very powerful, but then potentially life-changing. And so whenever we think about this, there's only one other thing to give consideration to. In Ezekiel chapter 33, if you want to avoid evangelism, here's the simplest way to do it. Simplest way. Just stay silent. Just be silent. Don't say anything. It is sort of like the watchman on the wall in the book of Ezekiel. And there we find that he has a responsibility, that whenever he sees the enemy coming, he is charged with being able to give the alarm to the city dwellers so that they can prepare themselves for the wrath that is coming. And if that watchman fails to give the warning, then the blood of the people inside that city are on his hands. If, however, he gives the warning and the people inside the city refuse to hear that warning, their blood is on their own head. And so, again, let the redeemed of the Lord, as the psalmist said, say so. Just say it. And again, I want to just remind you that you don't have to be astute theologians to be able to give an answer to every man for the hope that lies within you. You just don't. And so, looking back over this, not wishing, and I don't believe anybody in the room here would be wishing to do this. Nobody's wishing to avoid evangelism. And so we need to be willing to go out into the vineyard. We need to intentionally demonstrate an interest in people as we see them, as God providentially brings them into our sight line, to take an interest. That's an intentional thing that we do. And also that we prove ourselves to be reliable on every occasion of service, to be found in our place of appointment, so as that we do not become typical of unfaithful people who are on or off, who see the enemy coming. It's sort of like the shepherd in John chapter 10 who is defined as a hireling. A hireling, they said, the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10, flees. He turns away whenever he sees the wolf coming. Turns away. Unfaithful. But so long as the wolf stays at a distance, everything is fine. But as soon as he begins to get close, then the hireling, who's only there for his own gain and for his own personal greed, will flee. And so we all have something to say. Nobody, none of God's people, redeemed by the grace of God, should be speechless ever. We have something to say. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, you bring circumstances into our lives such as we find our church in now, and there are opportunities abounding to be able to shine as lights in this world when things are the darkest around us. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might be good testimonies, and that we might, dear Heavenly Father, bring honor and glory to you in our responses to life situations and circumstances as they come. We ask, Lord, for your help now as we take some time and we bring our friends, church members, our family here to the throne of grace tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen.